you're leaving. Why? Huh? Oh, what are you studying?
Hospitality.
But to leave is not very hospitable. Sit down and be hospitable. Just for a little while. Okay. The hard thing about studying is to practice what you learn. And now we're going to study. Here's something about what? What will we hear about today?
Lord Nrsimhadev?
Yes. Now what specific thing about Lord Nrsimhadev shall we hear about? What do you think, Aravind? Prabhu? Yes, that's today. But tonight we're going to hear about, I believe we'll hear about, if Krishna allows, the exact appearance of Lord Nrsimhadev and what caused him to appear. What did cause Lord Nrsimhadev to appear? Do you know? What? Yes and... Yes, now that's the point. Now why did he want to protect Prahlad Maharaj? That's exactly why, because he was a devotee. What does it mean to be a devotee?
He loved him.
Yes. It's just so natural that when there is love, there is the care for the welfare of the other. Your parents are caring so much for your welfare because of their affection for you. So because of Prahlad Maharaj's great love for Lord Nrsimhadev, for the Lord, Lord Nrsimhadev appeared and ripped apart. Oh, if you think about it, and you, just imagine we approach non-devotees who don't know anything in the West about God, and we say, this is our God, this is God, and we show them the picture of Haranyakashipu stretched across the lap of Lord Nrsimhadev, and he's ripping him apart, and he's wearing his intestines. Quite extreme. But what is it extreme? It's extreme anger in one sense. But what is that anger based on? It is based on that you have dared to threaten this boy devotee? You dare to threaten him? You're so powerful, you think? And you're threatening Prahlad? Ripped him apart and wore his intestines around. Why did he wear his intestines around his neck? Just to, for the same reason that Krishna pulled Kamsa around the wrestling arena after Kamsa was killed by Krishna, because Kamsa had terrorized so many people. He was terrible. He was a terrorist. And just to show that he's actually dead and you no longer have to fear him, Krishna dragged Kamsa around the wrestling arena, and similarly, Lord Nrsimhadev, after ripping him apart, he put his intestines around his neck as if they were a garland. No one has to fear Haranyakashipu anymore. I have killed him. So non-devotees, or those who lack knowledge about Krishna, consciousness about Krishna, they become very frightened when they see this fearsome aspect of the Lord, but the devotees become so happy. Why? Because, oh, Krishna takes care of his devotees. Look what he does. Now all I have to do is become a devotee or a devotee of a devotee. And then Krishna will also take care of me.
Do you want Krishna to take care of you? Yes.
Naturally, because in this world, everyone longs for a shelter. Because in this world, there is no shelter. There is only a bluff of shelter in this world. Nothing in this world can protect one. Nothing of this world can protect us, because in fact we are not of this world. And rather than protecting us, this world is designed to give us trouble. And everything that we plan according to our calculations and believing the advertisements, we plan that this is going to bring me happiness. And in fact, the exact opposite happens. We try to exploit the material world, and what happens is the material world appears to exploit us. So therefore, the devotees become convinced, in fact, that there is no shelter, there is no... Yes, there's pleasure in the material world, but it is flickering. Yantavanta kanteya nateshu ramate Buddha. Buddha means a wise person. What does Buddha mean? A wise person, yes? Buddha means a wise person. And a wise person, nateshu ramate, he doesn't get pleasure from combining the senses and the sense objects. Adyantavanta kanteya means it has a beginning and an end. And things that have beginnings and ends, they give us so much trouble if we try to squeeze pleasure from them. So Prahlad had decided, and the devotees decide, that I don't want to get pleasure from combining the senses and the sense objects in this world. But because I know dukkha, yona, they're the source of, that's the source of misery only. But rather, how do I want to get my pleasure? I want to get my pleasure by forgetting my own pleasure and by giving Krishna pleasure. And that's what it means to be a devotee, who really does that with great love and devotion, because they know that that's what gives Krishna pleasure. It is love and devotion. Otherwise, patram, what's the next word? Pushpam, next word? Phalam, what does phalam mean? Do you know? Close. It's the next one. Yeah. Patram, pushpam, phalam means fruit. The fruit. That's Krishna. Fruit, flowers, water. He owns everything. Everything is his. So what is he requesting the devotee to give that from? He says, Asnami, I will take it because it's offered by my devotee. With devotion. And that's is the spice that makes Krishna relish what he's given by his devotee. He loves, he craves, because he's a lover. He's a playful lover at that. But he loves the devotion of his devotee. So, Prahlad Maharaj, after Nrisingadev killed. Who did Nrisingadev kill? Mahatma Prabhu. Who did he kill? And he was so angry. He is the personification. He is the Lord's anger. So Krishna has unlimited wealth, unlimited beauty, unlimited strength, unlimited fame, knowledge, and he also has unlimited anger. So just imagine how angry he is when he's unlimitedly angry. We can't even imagine. But Hiranyakashipu found out. So he killed Hiranyakashipu, and still his anger would not subside. And the demigods, beginning with Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, and all the rishis, they offered prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev to see if they could cool him down, because he was so angry, he was so upset, everyone was terrified. Because when someone who is unlimitedly powerful is angry, it's very frightening. If, you know, a little child is angry who has no power, no one becomes upset, because what can he do? No one becomes afraid. But when someone who has unlimited power becomes unlimitedly angry, we become, yes, to say the least. So they all offered such prayers, saying, thanking him for killing Hiranyakashipu, and their prayers, each one of them, according to their particular natures and service, offered prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev, showing that, like Lord, that everything that was meant, all their abilities, all their qualities were meant to please Krishna. They were demigods. They were powerful persons. And whatever ability they have, whatever ability we have, whatever energy, whatever intelligence, or whatever Krishna has given us, is not meant for our sense enjoyment, in fact, because again, that won't bring us the happiness that we crave. But rather, whatever Krishna has given us is meant to be offered to him with devotion, with great devotion, with love. It is meant to please him. And what Hiranyakashipu had done is stopped all those offerings. And instead of things being offered to Krishna, the abilities being offered to Krishna, Hiranyakashipu took them for himself and engaged them in his own service. So Hiranyakashipu was not actually happy, and neither were those living entities who were trying to make their offer, who were meant practically their existence was meant to be offered to Krishna, and they weren't happy either, because one is happy when one is connected with Krishna, when one is offering what one has to Krishna. Just like, and that's the speciality of Vrindavan, that everything, the trees, the flowering plants, the birds, the peacocks. What is the speciality of a peacock? There are two specialities. You could even say three.
Dancing.
Huh?
It's dancing.
Dance. Have you ever seen a peacock dance? Where?
We're in Tasmania.
In Tasmania. They don't dance as well as the peacocks in Vrindavan. they open it and then they shake their feathers, and the feathers make a sound. A rustling sound. And what's their other offering?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Feathers. And also they make a sound. Any peacocks amongst us who know how to make peacock sounds? We're a bit when we need them. Prabhu! Huh? Yeah. Sounds a little sick, doesn't he, that one? So all those things are meant for Krishna's pleasure. And in Vrindavan, every entity is completely pure and is completely devoted to offer themselves to Krishna. Even the grass that is there. Even the trees offer their fruits, the plants, the flowers, the creepers, their flowers, the bees, the sound, that buzzing sound, and their honey. And the trees offer shade, the clouds offer shade. And all the residents of Vrindavan, whatever they have, they offer to Krishna. And that brings them, because their devotion is so special in Vrindavan. Their love is so complete and intimate that it brings them the greatest pleasure, although having the greatest pleasure is not at all their desire. Their desire is to give Krishna pleasure, but they get, and that's what happens. Just like when the hand feeds the mouth the food, then it becomes nourished and strong. So similarly, when any living entity offers everything to Krishna, then they become nourished and strong and happy, because it's natural to be happy. That's why everyone's longing for happiness. But we are cut off by the material energy, by Maya, by our own minds, by our improper desires. We are cut off from our own happiness. We cut ourselves off. So the demigods all offer their prayers, and the rishis and the sages, they offer their prayers. How this Aranyakashipu had stolen all those things meant for Krishna, and now he was dead. And when Lord Nrisingadev heard those prayers, he was so angry, still not angry at those demigods, but he was still so angry. His anger would not cool down. So Lord Brahma, even Lakshmi Devi began to offer prayers. She had never seen this form before. And still, everyone was afraid, standing back a little. But then Lord Brahma understood who was the proper person to speak to her, to Lord Nrisingadev, so he would become pacified. What does pacified mean?
Peaceful.
And one is, when one is angry, one is not peaceful. So Prahlad stepped forward, and he was a little surprised, because all these demigods were offering prayers, and now Brahma was asking him, who was the son of a demon. He was born in a demonic family, and they were asking him to offer prayers. And he's thinking, how could I pacify you, O Lord, when these great exalted personalities are unable to do so? But yeah, and so he wasn't inclined to step forward. I can do it. Don't worry. He wasn't like that. He was very, 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 well, here, what, right now? So this is what Prahlad said, first of all. He was only a little boy. He accepted Brahma's words to offer prayers. And he fell down to offer his obeisances. He fell down at the lotus feet of Lord Nrisingadev. And when he was prostrated, Bhagavatam says, at the soles of his lotus feet, and to see him, when Lord Nrisingadev saw him, he became ecstatic to see his devotee, because of his affection rose in his heart for Prahlad. And he picked Prahlad up, and he placed his lotus hand upon Prahlad's head. And the Bhagavatam says, because the Lord's lotus hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all his devotees. And when Prahlad experienced the touch of Lord Nrisingadev's hand upon his head, all material existence left him, and he became at once transcendentally situated. And at once tears of ecstasy began to flow from his eyes. And his heart filled with love, and as his heart filled with love, naturally, his eyes filled with tears. Those were the symptoms. So he began, in a very humble way, to offer prayers. He first said, how is it possible for me, who have been born in a family of asuras? Asura means demonic family. How is it possible for me to offer suitable prayers that will satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even now, up to this moment, so many exalted persons headed by Brahma, they've been praying, and so many saintly persons, and they couldn't satisfy you, O Lord, with the streams of their very sweet words. even though they're so qualified. And look at me. I'm not at all qualified. I'm just a boy, a demon, in fact. So we can see the first quality of Prahlad that he had that was able to satisfy Lord Nrisimhadeva. And that quality was what? Yeah. One may possess wealth, aristocratic family, beauty, and these are the things that make us proud. If someone is, and actually the greatest pride comes from wealth. Wealth, we think, makes, because wealth means power. That's, we say Lakshmi, we say in our ISKCON terminology, Lakshmi. Lakshmi is wealth. We say Lakshmi. We still say Lakshmi points. How many Lakshmi points do you have? No one can understand what in the world we're talking about. Because Lakshmi Devi, or wealth, is a potency of the Lord, and it's meant for Him. It cannot make us happy, actually. It can just bring our doom. So Prahlad says, one may possess wealth, an aristocratic family, beauty, austerity, education, sensory expertise, luster, effulgence. That's influence, the ability to influence others. Physical strength, diligence, determination, intelligence, or even yogic mystic powers, real power. But I think, Prahlad says, that even by these qualifications, one cannot satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because whatever we have and use to satisfy Him, He has more of. We offer Him our strength, but He has more strength. We offer Him wealth, He has more wealth. He's the most aristocratic, He's the most influential, the most charismatic. But what we can't offer Him, what He doesn't have that we can offer Him is our own love. Because it's ours. It's the only thing we possess. That's what the soul has. His own consciousness. Krishna has given us that. We heard that. And He gives us the freedom. I heard Prabhupada speaking on this. On this point. So when we offer that, Prahlad is saying, I think that by all these qualifications, one cannot satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, one can satisfy the Lord simply by devotional service. Gajendra did this, and thus the Lord was satisfied with him. And who was Gajendra? An elephant. He was an animal. He was an animal. But this animal made an offering of prayers, of his words, in distress, with full sincerity. There is nothing like, nothing as completely sincere as when we're really in trouble and difficulty. Then if we call out with help, we really mean it, because we need it. Gajendra did this. And thus the Lord was satisfied with him. And he wasn't a demigod or a rishi or a saintly person even. He was an animal. And Vritrasura, he was a demon. So bhakti, devotional service, it is not limited to anybody. It's part of a quality of the soul. So Prahlad is saying this. If a Brahmin has all the 12 Brahminical qualifications, but is not a devotee and is averse to the lotus feet of the Lord, he is certainly lower than a devotee who is a dog eater, but who has dedicated everything, mind, words, activities, wealth, and life to the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee is better than such a Brahmin, because the devotee can purify his whole family, 21 generations even. Lord knows Ringide will say. Is that that sounds like an old-fashioned phone. It must be a mobile phone with an old-fashioned phone ring. Because no one would be carrying around a landline in their pocket. Because the wire would be too long. The Brahmin, the so-called Brahmin, in a position of false prestige, cannot even purify himself. The Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always fully satisfied in himself. He doesn't need anything for his satisfaction yet. We're asked to satisfy him. What will satisfy someone who owns everything? Therefore, and not only that, he's completely detached. So how to satisfy a person like this? Therefore, Prahlad says, when something is offered to him, the offering, by the Lord's mercy, is for the benefit of the devotee. For the Lord does not need service from anyone. To give an example, if one's face is decorated, the reflection of one's face in a mirror is also seen to be decorated. So in that example, who is the reflection and who is the face? And who is the decorator? In that example, who can explain that example? Who is who in that example? If one decorates one's own face, the mirror reflection is also decorated. Yes? Yes? When you look in the mirror, and you're looking in the mirror and you're going like this, and you look in the mirror, is my tilak straight? And yes, it's straight. It's straight in the reflection. But it really means that it's straight on my forehead. So what's the example mean? I'll read the verse again. The Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always fully satisfied in himself. That meaning is clear. Therefore, when something is offered to him, the offering by the Lord's mercy is for the benefit of the devotee. For the Lord does not need service from anyone. To give an example, if one's face is decorated, the reflection of one's face in a mirror is also seen to be decorated. What does that mean? That example. Yes?
By decorating the reflection, or by doing something for the reflection, you actually do something for yourself. So by serving Krishna, you're actually serving yourself.
So that means Krishna is the reflection? No. So you got it perfectly opposite.
Yeah.
Oh, you knew all along and you didn't raise your hand. Ah, now we caught you. But it's easy to say, yeah, after, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now you can explain it to us.
Well, I thought that you're decorating yourself to be the Lord.
In other words, you're offering something to Krishna.
Yeah.
You're making him beautiful.
Yeah.
And we are the reflection. Yes? And then what happens to us, the reflections, when we make Krishna beautiful? Yes. We become happy. But remember, Krishna doesn't need anything, in fact. So how to decorate someone who doesn't need anything, who's already all beautiful? We decorate him with whatever we can for his pleasure with our devotion. So where to get devotion? How to get that from the stone-like heart? Are you leaving? Your service? Thank you for coming. Hare Krishna. That's the question. How can this hard, stone-like heart gain some devotion? Are you leaving too?
Yeah, we're going to do a second time.
Everyone's going to leave? Then I'll also leave.
I'd love to stay.
I'd also love for you to stay. Okay, no, but you should do your service.
Yeah.
Sorry, well, what do you do? What's your service?
We're doing mat collection marathon.
For what?
For renovations of crossways and the lot.
How long will it take?
We've got 12 days in a row now. So 12 days and then it's over.
12 more days?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to begin now?
Oh, we've gone last week as well. 16 days in total. 12 left. Because we went to the retreat, we're going to do 12 days in a row now.
Sorry. Like father, like son. I'll try. Okay. Let's see if Krishna allows us to be here. Will you be here tomorrow morning?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Wow. Okay. Therefore, although I was born in a demoniac family, Prahlad says, I may without a doubt offer prayers to the Lord with full endeavor. And that is the key. To make the offering, it has to be a full endeavor. What do I tend to do? Anyway, I won't ask you that question. I'll ask myself. What I tend to have half my mind doing sometimes none of my mind doing the service. My mind is somewhere else so much of the time. I'm doing the service with my body, but my mind is somewhere else. Always somewhere else. Always somewhere else. When I'm here, I'm thinking what I'm supposed to be doing next. And when I'm doing the next thing, I'm thinking about, what happened to what I used to do or what I should be doing in the future? What happens if that's going to happen? I'm worrying about this, lamenting about the past, planning the future. But I never am where I am. And therefore, my offerings are not full. And this is all the product of the rascal mind, my rascal mind. It stops me from being here where I am and doing what I'm supposed to do here. And that is doing something for the pleasure of Krishna. Not for my pleasure, but for the pleasure of Krishna. Do you know what I mean by that? The mind is always somewhere else. I may without a doubt offer prayers to the Lord with full endeavor as far as my intelligence allows. Anyone who has been forced by ignorance to enter the material world may be purified of material life if... Now please listen to this carefully. I'll read it again. It's so important because... Here I am in the material world. I'm forced by ignorance to enter the material world. This is the prime thing, it's ignorance. Ignorance means that I don't know. And what don't I know? I don't know who I am. And who am I? I'm thinking myself as a competitor of Krishna. I'm forced by that ignorant, foolish, false attitude to enter the material world. I want to be the enjoyer. I want to be the center. And that ignorance, because it's not possible. So that ignorance forces me to enter the material world. So Prahlad says that anyone who has been forced by ignorance to enter the material world may be purified. Purified of what? Purified of the ignorance. Purified of material life. If... You want to hear what the if is? If he does one thing.
One thing.
Huh?
One thing.
He already does that, and that's why he's in the material world. He can be purified if, and this is an important thing to remember because we have the opportunity to do it, if he offers prayers to the Lord, and if he hears the Lord's glories. So how can he be purified? Name one of the ways. Translation.
Hearing
what?
Krishna
the Hearing. What did he say? What did the verse say? Okay. Where were you? No, I won't ask. It's okay. He may be purified of material life if he offers prayers to the Lord and hears the Lord's glories. Okay.
Lord's glories.
Lord's glories. What?
Pastimes and
activities. Hears. Yeah. Hears the Lord's glories. Yeah. Hears the Lord's glories. Okay, we'll read it one more time. He may be purified of material life if he offers prayers to the Lord. Prayers to the Lord, prayers to the Lord, prayers to the Lord. And hears the Lord's glories. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Got it? Yep. So therefore, but it should be done with full endeavor. I may, without a doubt, offer prayers to the Lord with full endeavor. Means with a full heart, with full sincerity, really mean it. Now you know what your mission is today?
Prayers.
Yeah, and hearing the Lord's glories. Should offer prayers to the Lord with sincere, full prayers. Oh my Lord, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma are sincere servants of your Lordship, who are situated in the transcendental position. Therefore, they are not like us. Prahlad is thinking, not like me, I'm low. Your appearance in this fearsome form is your pastime for your own pleasure. Such an incarnation is always meant for the protection and improvement of the universe. My Lord Nrisingadeva, please, therefore, cease your anger now that my father, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, has been killed. Since even saintly persons take pleasure in the killing of a scorpion or a snake, all the worlds have achieved great satisfaction because of the death of this demon, my father. He is like a snake or a scorpion, poisonous. Now they are confident of their happiness, and they will always remember your auspicious incarnation in order to be free from fear. My Lord, who is never conquered by anyone, I'm certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue, your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrows. I do not fear your sharp, pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, your mane that is soaked with blood, or your high, wedge-like ears. Nor do I fear your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee to distant places, or your nails, which are meant to kill your elephant. O most powerful, insurmountable Lord, who are kind to the fallen souls, I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my activities, and therefore I am very much afraid of. He didn't fear so many things about Lord Nrisingadeva, but what he was afraid of was my condition of life within this material world. I am in the material world and my nature is of a demon. I tend to try to exploit the material energy for my pleasure instead of using it for Krishna, in Krishna's service, as it is meant to be used. This is my nature. And here I am in the atmosphere of the material world with that nature, surrounded by all that advertisement and all the people who are acting in that way. And I fear that. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet? which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditioned life. O Great One, O Supreme Lord, because of combination with pleasing and displeasing circumstances and because of separation from them, one is placed in a most regrettable position within heavenly or hellish planets, as if burning in a fire of lamentation. I can't do this. I want to do that. Why does that have to happen? It burns the heart. Especially as one is older and looks back upon all the youthful dreams he had. And how much his life was frustrated. When do you have to be at school, at university? Do you have to go now?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. But today you should pray and hear the glories of Lord Nrisimhadeva, and you pray to him for protection. Okay? Although there are many remedies by which to get out of miserable life, any such remedies in the material world are more miserable than the miseries themselves. Therefore, I think that the only remedy is to engage in your service. Kindly instruct me in such service. O my Lord, O Lord Nrisimhadeva, by engaging in your transcendental loving service in the association of devotees who are liberated souls, they are hamsas, they are like swans, I shall become completely uncontaminated. By the association of the three modes of material nature, and I shall be able to chant the glories of your lordship, then, actually, when I'm free from the influence of the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and then I will actually be able to chant your glories with a full heart, with devotion. Then I will be able to chant the glories of your lordship, who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories, following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and the disciplic succession. So this was his desire. Just to be able to freely, purely, and fully chant about Krishna. And this is what that purity of desire, wanting to glorify Krishna, was what, and nothing else there. Anya bilasita sunyam. There were no other desires. This is what made. This is why Prahlad was so dear to Lord Nrisimhadeva, because this was his full and sincere desire. And yet he thought of himself as a fallen soul. And how ironic. I'm so contaminated and I think of myself as the opposite. Exalted. Wonderful. Talented, this, that, whatever, depending upon the day or the moment. Arrogant. And Prahlad was pure. So pure that Lord Nrisimhadeva immediately cooled down, his affection rose, and when your affection rises, anger goes. In this way I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of ignorance, nescience. By chanting, he's saying, this is the boat, chanting the glories of the lotus feet of the Lord. You know what jada means, by the way? That's what it says, yeah?
Yeah.
Or jada, you know what it means? Huh? In like stone, or dull. My dear Nrisimhadeva, my dear Lord Nrisimhadeva, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected and not cared for by you cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child. A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient. And a boat on the water cannot protect a drowning man. This is a very difficult concept to understand. Prabhupada explains it in his purport simply that unless we're actually under Krishna's protection, ultimately we will not be protected. Unless one is protected by the mercy of the Lord, no remedial measure can act effectively. One should consequently depend fully on the causeless mercy of the Lord. Although as a matter of routine duty, one must of course accept other remedial measures. It's not that when we're sick, we don't go to the doctor because we're only going to depend on Krishna. There are people who actually have so much faith. Prabhupada speaks of one man who was, when he was ill, he drank Ganga water and he was always remained healthy. But generally, people will go to the doctor when they're sick, and devotees also do that. But the devotee depends on Krishna because he knows unless Krishna sanctions the cure, indeed he will not become cured. We try our best in a practical way, always. We don't think, oh, unless Krishna wants me to get to school today, I can't go, and I'm going to sit here and wait till he like picks me up, puts me on the tram, and then sends me. No, we have to stand up. It's almost time, I'm telling you. You probably have to go. We have to stand up, put the left foot in front of the right, and we have to go. We have to put in our effort. But it's really a fact that unless Krishna allows us to get there, indeed we will not get there despite our efforts. It is not ultimately our effort that makes something successful. Hare Krishna. You're in the same class? Hospitality also? Very good. You're not in hospitality, are you? What are you? What are you in?
Unemployed.
You're unemployed. What are you doing right now then?
I have to go and meet a friend.
But I'm also your friend.
Yeah, but this is a previous.
Well, okay, I'll end soon then. If you just wait a few more minutes, okay? Because I know everyone has things to do. My dear Lord, everyone in the material world is under the modes of material nature, being influenced by goodness, passion, and ignorance. Everyone, from the greatest personality, Lord Brahma, down to the smallest ant, works under the influence of these modes. Therefore, everyone in this material world is influenced by your energy. The cause for which they work, the place where they work, the time when they work, the matter due to which they work, the goal of life they considered final, and the process of attaining the goal are nothing but manifestations of your energy. Indeed, since the energy and energetic are identical, all of them are manifestations of you. So everyone is always and only associating with Krishna, the idea. O Lord, O Supreme Eternal, by expanding your plenary portion, you have created the material world. So he's talking about the entanglement of the material world. And then he says the last, there's one more verse after this one I'll read, and then. Who can get free from this entanglement unless he takes shelter of your lotus feet? My dear Lord, O Supreme Great, you have created this material world of 16 constituents, but you are transcendental to the material qualities. In other words, these material qualities are under your full control, and you're never conquered by them. Therefore, the time element is your representation. My Lord, O Supreme, no one can conquer you. As for me, however, I am being crushed by the wheel of time. And therefore, I surrender fully unto you. Now kindly take me under the protection of your lotus feet. A little bit from Prabhupada's purport. The word nispidyamanam, being crushed, is very significant. every living entity in the material condition is actually being crushed again and again. And to be saved from this position, one must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then one will be happy. The word prapanam is also very significant. For unless one fully surrenders to the Supreme Lord, one cannot be saved from being crushed. Okay. Thank you very much. Have a prayerful day. Any questions or comments?
It's interesting how we hear Buddha, but then we hear Buddha.
Yeah. Any other comments?
All our effort must be for Hari Toshanam.
Yes. And what does Hari Toshanam mean?
To make him happy, his senses.
To please him. We should try to please Krishna. Thank you. Anyone else like to make a comment or ask a question? Because yes.
Hello. Was talking about making nothing with full endeavor.
Yes.
And observing my own life, there are some things which I can do with more attention and I'm more fully there than others. Like cooking, for instance, I'm never fully there, I'm only partly there. But sometimes in my work, I'm totally engaged in what I'm doing. So is it in an endeavor to try and please Krishna? Should one try and do more of that of which I know I'd like to be fully engaged and make that an offering rather than the things which are not quite so much in my capacity in terms of my being able to.
At this stage of your life? Yes. Yeah, because where Krishna opens the door for you, he indicates very often through what we can do and where we're focused and where we get the reciprocation, he indicates which way we should go. At other stages of life when we need, you know, a specific kind of training, we should, this may not be the case. We may not need just to do the needful. And also during emergencies you just have to do whatever has to be done, regardless of whether it's you feel focused or you don't feel focused, you feel happy, you don't feel happy, you like it, you don't like it. Emergency means you have to do it anyway. And so, yeah, some people need help. There are many reasons why we engage in different ways. But if we don't do sometimes the activities that are really satisfying to us and fully engage us, all of us, and then we can get very frustrated. So, yes, for you. Do you like to give class? Does that focus you too? Yeah. So it's not only working. Studying?
For a specific thing, yes.
There you go. Anyone else have any questions or comments? Yes.
My understanding is that different incarnations have a different mood, and therefore we should pray to them and reciprocate or serve them in a different way.
Not by being angry at him. I never heard that point. Like how we just, like if you have a Lord Varaha Shila, and you have a Lord Nisringadev Shila, Shalagram Shila, and a Govanand Shila, you're saying that there'll be different ways to serve them?
Maybe not serve them, but certainly praying to them. Like, Balaram is meant to give us strength. We want to get spiritual strength, and we pray Balaram. So I was wondering if there's a specific way that we could approach mission day.
Okay. I think I understand what you mean. It's not, I don't think it's quite like that, but almost like that, maybe. But we approach Lord Nisringadev to remove the anartas in our heart. As he ripped apart the demon Hiranyakashipu, let him rip out the anartas from our heart. Bhakti Vigyanasa Nisringadev. He removes the anartas from the heart of the devotee, but also he gives love for Krishna too. It's not like Lord Balaram's purpose, the purpose of his existence is to give you strength. He's the Supreme Lord. So we serve them with devotion, and we can pray to Lord Nisringadev to remove the anartas, the impediments to our devotion. Is that what you meant? Like that? Yeah. But he also gives love. He's ferocious like a lion, but so gentle to Prahlad. Ugro Piugro Ivayam Sabhaktanam Rakeshari Keshadiva Swapotanam Anyasham Ugra Vikrama. Okay. Question?
It's just on prayer. I just can't remember it. He glories in the Shemi Devil, glories in the Shemi Devil. Look at part of the Devil.
Yeah.
Do you know the actual prayer?
Yeah.
Sri
Nasinga Jai Nasinga Jai Jai Nasinga Palada Desha Mukha Padma Mukha Padma Bringa. It's from Mahaprabhu chanted this when he was in Ahovalam. I didn't say it right, so you say it. Pralada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa. If you can write it down from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So what does it mean to have a favorite prayer? Okay, but what does it mean to have a favorite prayer? So what the word favorite? What does it mean? In a simple way, not a technical way. What does it mean? It's your favorite prayer. That you like to recite it. So that you're glorifying him, and it's giving you pleasure through that prayer. So that prayer is a very simple way for you to move forward in Krishna consciousness. So you should learn it today. And you should pray to Lord Nisringadev today. Yeah? Today is a good day to get some mercy. Okay, let's stop. Thank you very much. Nisringadev ki jay, Sri Prabhupada ki jay, Prahlad Maharaj ki jay, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jay. Thank you.